yard would have been billowing clouds from a sausage grease fire, smoke whirling off into the sky with the first autumn leaves on a late September breeze. 20 years was a long time. Growing up, Frank had promised himself he'd get out of this neighborhood. His dad had done painting and plastering, and his mom had been a school lunch lady, taking in seamstress work on the side to make ends meet. And all the happy blue-collar horse shit he heard up and down Hammersmith Street made him want to scream. He'd never wanted that life for himself. Frank didn't like to think about his childhood, mainly because it all seemed so trite to him. Drunk old man, funny after 4 beers, mean after 8, violent if he turned to whiskey. Frank had a cap on an upper incisor that he'd only gotten fixed when he graduated from college and was on the hunt for a job. Prior to that, he'd liked seeing it in the mirror, would smile at himself every day just to catch a glimpse. His father had torn up his knuckles on that broken tooth one night and had vivid white scars there until the day they'd closed his coffin lid. Frank had scars, too. He'd moved out 3 days after high school graduation, worked 3 jobs to pay for UMass Boston and a spot on a friend's couch. All the time, hell, from 7th grade on up, he'd been laser-focused on becoming a newspaper reporter. A journalist, he'd told anyone who'd listen. When he hit the streets after college, he landed a job at the Boston Phoenix, which had been the Craigslist of local rags before it went under. From there, he'd moved to the Boston Herald, pretending he believed at least half the crap they printed, and dedicated himself to the dream he'd promised to his 13-year-old self, becoming a crime reporter. 6 months after coming on staff, Frank had gotten his wish, crime beat. 7 weeks later, he received his pink slip, and things had gone to hell from there. He'd lost the latest in a string of girlfriends, lost his apartment in Somerville, and had to move back in with his mother, Ruth. Just his mother, because his dad had fallen off a ladder the year before, broken his neck, and been dead before the paint bucket hit the ground. Living back on Hammersmith Street, Frank gave the same answer whenever anyone asked what had happened with his journalism career. The internet was killing print journalism, but he planned to start his own Boston News website as soon as he finished raising the funds. Dad had been drunk the day he died. He had fallen from the ladder, yeah, but it was alcohol that killed him. Frank and his mother never talked about it, just like they didn't talk about his own drinking once he had moved back into the house. Ruth stayed silent and picked up the bottles Frank left around, just as she'd done for his father for nearly 40 years. She cleaned up after her son until the moment the cancer made her too weak to get out of bed. Lymphoma. It had killed her 10 months ago, a week before Thanksgiving. Ever since, Frank walked around the house with a trash bag twice a week, picking up his empties and quietly apologizing to her ghost for the mess. Most nights he sat in front of the television, the laugh tracks of old sitcoms, a temporary respite from the yawning silence inside the house at night. Sometimes, though, he turned the TV off and sat in the wan light from the floor lamp, just listening to the ticking clock on the wall and the groaning beams up in the attic. It would be worse this winter, he knew. The baseboard heat would pop and hiss, and somehow he'd feel even more alone. Tonight, he felt himself nodding off, licked his lips, and sat up straighter in his chair. Last time he'd been to the fridge, he had retrieved 2 beers to save himself another trip. Now he drained the dregs of one and used the opener on his keyring to pop the cap on the other. He stared at the darkened television screen for a few seconds. "My kind of party," he whispered to himself. Nights like this, when he sat and drank beer without even the company of those old sitcoms, those were the nights he worried. He found comfort in the idea that worrying about himself must be healthy, that he had not hit rock bottom as long as his behavior concerned him. But that reassurance always came cloaked in the blur of drunken logic, and in the mornings he remembered that noticing your car was headed for a tree was not the same as swerving to avoid it. "Enough of this shit," he whispered to himself.